Genesis chapter number 25.
Also Hebrews chapter number 11.
Genesis 25 and Hebrews chapter number 11. As I mentioned this morning, we're going to do something a little bit different tonight. And hopefully
you don't mind. I think you'll get something out of the message. I think you'll enjoy the service
if you open up your imaginations a little bit. And like tonight, we are going to have a funeral service for Abraham. We're saying goodbye to Abraham. So tonight we're going to have a setting instead of just a regular sermon. We are actually going to have a funeral service, and we're going to have an obituary. We're going to have some eulogies. We're going to have some music in it, just like we would normally a normal funeral service. So it's going to be go against the normal message for a Sunday night service. But I think character Abraham is really special. We're getting ready to say goodbye to Abraham here. And as we're saying goodbye to Abraham, I think it would be well fitting if we look and understand what some people would say about him. Now, I've done a lot of different funerals, not as many as others, but I've done quite a few since I've been here, and there are some things that I remember, but one of the things that I remember most is what other people say about the person who's passed away. And tonight, I was wondering, as we go through this funeral service for Abraham, you know, what would other people say about you? Don't get me wrong. We don't live for the approval of others. We live for the approval of God. But because of our testimonies, I've been in a lot of places where I've seen people talk highly about their parents or highly about their loved ones or their mates. But I've been in other places where people just try to find some kind things to say. I've had people talk about how great this person was at certain things, and I have other people talk about how wonderful of a spiritual giant they were. And once again, we're not looking for the approval of men. We're always living for the approval of God. But you know what? If God is going to bless you because of the fact you're living for Him, other people will take notice. In this story tonight, and in this funeral service for Abraham that we're going to do tonight, I want us to just get a little bit of thought about what some other people would say. We spent a lot of weeks. I know some of you young people were back in junior church. Some of you teachers are back in junior church. But we spent a lot of weeks in the book of Genesis. We've been to the high points and low points of Abraham's life. So tonight, I like to kind of give an overview or a kind of wrap it all together as we say goodbye to Abraham. Now, I did think about going all out and bringing in a casket, but then I realized it probably wasn't going to be those caskets back then. They would just wrap them up and throw them in a cave. I even asked Mr. Mark and Mr. Dean if they would get dressed up in the Bible characters and give the eulogy, and they both said that they were willing to, but I didn't have any costumes. So I just decided I'm going to go ahead and do it. But we are going to have a little bit of music tonight. We're congregational singing during the message, one verse of a couple songs that would be applicable to Abraham's life. And no, I'm not going to plan on leading the singing, because during a regular funeral service, I would not lead the singing. So only on very special occasions. So here we go in Genesis chapter number 25. We're going to read the verses first, and then we're going to get into our funeral service for Abraham. In Genesis chapter 25, verse number 5. Actually, we'll start in verses 1 and 2. And it says, "Then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah." Now, you see here that in verse number 2, she bore him some children. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, the guy was like 150 years old and she was bearing him children. That's a big deal. That's supernatural type things. He said, well, how do you know that? Maybe it was the men. Maybe the miracle was with Sarah, not with Abraham. Well, if you go back to the book of Romans, it talked about how Abraham's body was as it was dead concerning child being able to make the child with the lady. So this is a miracle here that God just shows you how great God is. As we talked about this morning, the power that God has, that God can do all things. And you see in verses 2, 3, and 4, you kind of trace the lineage. There's some interesting names in there that you might recognize a little bit later. In verse number 2, it says Midian. We remember the Midianites. The Medan is also another name you'll see mentioned in the Bible. And some other characteristics. And we're not going to take time to look at all these different things. But he had more children. Do I understand why or the purpose of this? No, I don't know what God allowed it to happen. But in verse number 5, it says Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. Remember, Isaac was the chosen one. Isaac was the promised one. Isaac is the one who the line of Christ is coming through. And that's what the Bible is written about. In verses chapters 1 through 11 in the book of Genesis, it introduces who God is. God made all things. In those chapters, we learn why we are the way we are. We learn why we do the things we do. We learn where we're going. We learn where we came from. And in chapter number 12, God calls out this man. He calls him out from the Ur of the Chaldees, this man Abram. He calls him and he puts him on a journey. Say, what's so special about Abram? Well, Abraham is going to be the father of a great nation. What is so special about the nation? in this nation and in this lineage was coming the Messiah, coming the Redeemer. And that's what you see in the Bible, the tracing all through these events of all the different people and all the different kings and all the different things. This is where Jesus Christ came through. You can trace that lineage all the way back through in the Bible times. Not that God didn't love these other people just as much. It's just that this Bible is teaching us and showing us that the Messiah came, and that's what we celebrate at Christmas time. Here, let's keep on going. Verse number 5, and Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. So he was giving all that he had. And verse number 6, but unto the sons of the concubines, which is, I think, in the referring to here in this first woman in verse number 1, and also by Hagar and Ishmael, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac, his son. He said after he was gone, he did not want anything to ever get in the way of Isaac and him being the heir to the promises that God had given him. While he yet lived eastward unto the east country, and there are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 103 years. Now, listen to this, okay? And it says, and there are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 103 years. That is 175 years that he lived. Wow. And we see here that in this story, he starts giving a little commentary. Verse number 8, then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his son Isaac and Ishmael buried him in a good old age, an old man, excuse me, and his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zoar, the Hittite, which is before Mamre. Remember, this is where Sarah was buried also. The field which Abram purchased of the sons of Heth. There was Abraham buried and Sarah his wife. Verse number 11 will be the last verse for this passage. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well of Lehariel. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's blessing tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. Lord, I pray that in this unique time that we spend together, Lord, that we use our imagination a little bit, and as we see the Bible and understand some of the biblical characters that were going on and what others may say about Abraham, how we can take some of these things and apply them to our lives and realize that our lives does make a difference. And realize that we do make an impact. And God, that we want to be a blessing and point people to Christ. And Lord, even when we're gone, we want our testimony to ring clear of our love for God and, Lord, our focus on you. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. Show us the importance of understanding that we leave an impression in this world, and help us leave the type of impression that Abraham must have left on his family and friends. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I do a funeral, and like I said, I'm not trying to make this morbid, but I think you get the picture here. When I do a funeral, one of the first things I do is I read an obituary. I didn't have much time to work on the obituary, but usually in the obituary, you talk about those who have gone on before and those things. So listen to it for a second or two while we talk about Abraham's obituary. He was a man of great wealth, a man that had great flocks, but also is known of being a man of kindness and respected by all those who knew him. He loved God and loved his wife who preceded him in death, Sarah. He is survived by his wife, Keturah, and survived by at least 8 kids and many grandchildren and even some great-grandchildren. He was married to this woman, Keturah, for 20 years after Sarah's death. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 103 years. At that time, Isaac was 75. Jacob was 15. Esau was 15. Eber, the grandson of Shem, was 460. Abraham was only born 2 years after the death of Noah. He had outlived his beloved Sarah by nearly half a century and had been called to the pilgrim pathway when he was 75 and walked the straight and narrow way for 100 years. He was preceded in death by his father and mother of his lineage of where he was born at in the Ur of the Chaldees. He will be remembered most for being a person who loved his God, a God that was unusual in this area, a God that he called Jehovah, the one true God, known for building many altars, known for worshiping his God, even in difficult times. This man, Abraham, will be remembered not only for his wealth and his power, but for the respect that all had for him.
Now, when you think about an obituary, it talks about the family members that have gone behind. It talks about the things that mean most. And I'm thinking when Abraham's obituary is going to be written, or was written, I know there wasn't obituaries back there, don't get me wrong, but when this happened, what will be remembered about him most was his relationship with God. And another thing, after we do this, after you have this, you have, sometimes you have a special music, or you have someone come up and give a eulogy. And most of you know what a eulogy is, but for the young people that maybe are in the room, a eulogy is when someone who knew the person would come up and speak about them for a little while. Sometimes family members, no one wants to get up front, and so the pastor just gets up and talks about the person. Makes it much easier when the pastor knows the person, but there's been times when I got the privilege of talking about someone I did not know that well, but I had to listen to the family members to get to understand that. And I began to think and consider, and there's a lot of different people I thought, well, we could have Ishmael give the eulogy. We could have maybe Eleazar, the head servant, give the eulogy. Maybe, and there are a lot of different people, but there's two people I chose to give the eulogy tonight. And I would like for you to think from their perspective of, as they look at Abraham, what they might have said at Abraham's funeral. First one I like to think about is the eulogy of Lot. Lot's eulogy about Abraham. Lot, he might have said something like this. Now, once again, this is not found in the Bible, but these characteristics are found. This is why something Lot might say this. Lot said, might have said, I was blessed to have Abraham as my uncle. He was unlike any man I ever knew. Most were interested in the things of this world, how to build a worldly kingdom and get possessions, but not Uncle Abram. He was interested in his God. He was interested in the promises of God. He always spoke of the future and what God was going to do. I thought he was foolish at times, but now I wish I would have listened to him more. I wish I would have been more like him. When I had a need, he was always there. He treated me with kindness, giving me a choice where to go and when we had to split. I remember the time when my family and I was captured, and he came and he saved us. His forces were so small, but he conquered a great army, and he saved them just out of a love for me and my family. But I remember laughing with my family as we walked away, making fun of good old Uncle Abram all the way back to Sodom, because he refused to take the spoil from the victory, even though the king had offered it to him. At that moment in time, I could not understand why, but looking back on his life now and standing before Isaac, the promised son that he knew God was going to give him, I get it. It wasn't living for the riches of this world that I remember about Uncle Abram. It was the fact that his eyes were always set and what the future kingdom was going to be like. Lot might even tell a story about how he lost his family. How even his children that was sitting there were from a relationship that is just unnatural. And Lot, I think, could say, I did not understand, but now looking back at Abram's death, after 175 years, 100 years of this man living for God, I saw God be faithful to him, and I understand now why he always wanted to serve him. And at this moment in time, in a funeral, we would have a song that the family has picked. And I really love it when a person who is older or thinks that they're going to pass away maybe sometime in the next 10 years, tell me all the different songs they would like to sing and the different people they like for talk. It helps things. But I picked this song, and I think this is a song that would go well for a funeral of Abraham. This world is not my home. And here's the reason why. It's because we are told in the scriptures that Abraham was a pilgrim. He was a stranger in these lands. And this is just a reminder how we should take in this world not to be thinking that this world is the most important. But when we think of Abraham, he never had a place to call home. He was promised all this land, but he never inherited it. He just looked at it. He said, I am a pilgrim and a stranger. So Brother Jim's going to come lead us in this song, This World Is Not My Home. Yes, please. Just one verse.
Number 229, we'll sing just the first verse together. This world is not my home. And that's what it starts with. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friends. friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
What a reminder of how Abraham must have felt. And living in this world, seeing all around him, when the king of Sodom walked away with all of his possessions, when Lot walked away with his full family of daughters and possibly son-in-laws, when Abraham saw everyone else having children and not him, he was saying, I'm trusting in God's promises. Even though God had promised him all those lands, he was still buying a cave for his wife. He understood in this world that this world was not his home. And that was one of the things. Then I think about the next person that I think would say, and normally a child does not talk about their father. It's too tough. It's too hard. Sometimes they do, and sometimes it is a wonderful time when a child who has high respect of their father or mother has passed away gives the eulogy, but it is a very difficult thing. And I wrote some things that I thought maybe Isaac would say. So this is Isaac's eulogy for Abraham. He said, my dad loved me with all his heart. I was the apple of his eye. He cherished me. He trained me. He taught me the ways of God. He taught me how to be a gentleman. He taught me respect. He taught me how to love my mother. He loved my mother unlike any man I have seen love a wife. I hope to love my wife like this someday. As much as he had love he had for me, there is one thing that he loved even more than me. That was his God. Many people talk about knowing God. But my father was his friend. His faith was real and he lived it every day. It was not just with his mouth he spoke it, but instead his actions demonstrated day after day. He put God before his most treasured possession, even me. He says, I still remember that day going up Mount Moriah. I was wondering where the sacrifice was, but my dad had complete faith. He was carrying a heavy burden as he walked up those steps. And some have asked me, why in the world would you lay down on that altar? And I explained to them, the reason why I was willing to lay down on that altar is because I trusted my dad. And I saw that God was real to him, and God became real to me through his relationship with him. I knew if my dad was willing to sacrifice to me, the one he loved so much, it needed to be done, and the command had to come from God. And as many of you have heard the story before, God provided himself a sacrifice that day. And once again, someday he will provide a lamb for us. I believe Isaac told the story that most people would want their children and grandchildren to speak of them. I've sat in homes and I listened to people talk highly about their fathers and their mothers that were spiritual giants in their lives. And then I've sat in other homes where the sons and daughters have respected their parents, but never were taught the things of God. Many would say, yes, we could be in church every single Sunday, but never hear about God the other times of the week. See, I think in Abraham's life, we know the truth is that Abraham lived this life day in and day out from the story. What other type of man would have been willing to offer up his own son? And Isaac, what other type of person would have been willing to lay down their life unless it was the will of the Father? And they had to have great respect for the Father. And I think Isaac would have said, Abraham's best friend was Jesus Christ or was God. So we're coming to our second song. Usually we have two songs inside of a funeral. And this song is, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And Brother Jim's going to lead us in the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Please turn to number 313. What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Again, we'll just sing the first verse together. 313. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry.
everything to God in prayer.
And we come to the last part of the service, and this is the part where the preacher gets up and speaks a message in the sermon. And I'd like to have your Bibles open to Genesis chapter 25 and also Hebrews chapter number 11. And I wonder, and I thought for a little while, I wonder, and I know back in the Genesis tradition, back thousands of years ago, they probably did not do things this way. The word eulogy probably wasn't even around. But I understand that someone, I believe, would have said some things. And I wonder who would have possibly been the one to speak on behalf of Abraham. And I like to think it was maybe his head servant, the one that he sent out to find a wife for Isaac. I think this was Eleazar, a man who loved God, a man who was directed by God and led by God. He would have the opportunity maybe to share the message. And after watching Abraham for maybe these 100 years, and once again, Eleazar might have passed away a long time before that. Lot might have already been gone. These are just thoughts of what could have been. I think Eleazar would have said that there are some different things that we can remember about Abraham's life. There's three things I like to remember. And as we look at this message and we see Abraham's death, there's something that we always got to remember is that we are all going to die someday. If the great friend of God and the great spiritual giant Abraham had to face death, we will all face death. And we all need to make sure that we're prepared and ready. Every funeral service I preach, I try to bring in this illustration. If a person could come back from the dead, I believe their greatest heart interest would be make sure that you're saved. Make sure you're ready and prepared to meet God. Yes, they would love to talk to their friends and family. Yes, they would love to remember and reminisce and tell them maybe things that they had forgotten. But their greatest concern was that they would be ready and prepared to meet God someday. But after making that illustration, I would like to begin talking about them. And Abraham is an easy person to preach about. First thing I think if you can see in Abraham's life is, number one, how he lived his life. How he lived his life. It was a life of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8, you see the Word of God tells us. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. I believe Eleazar, or whoever the preacher of that day would say, he lived his life as a life of faith. He was willing to take his life and get up and move all his roots and move his whole family to a land that God had never even told him where he was going. Not only was it a life of faith that he lived, he also lived a life of following. Look what it says in verse number 9. For by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He was following after the Lord. He needed God to tell him. He needed God to point the direction of where he should be going. He did not know where he was going, but instead he lived his life by faith and following after God. If we would learn to surrender ourselves and say, Lord, I want you to lead me. I want you to direct me. God, what is it you want me to do in this area? How is it that you want me to serve? Lord, give me leadership. Give me direction. We don't pray like that many times. Instead, we decide what we want to do. And then we ask God, okay, God, what directions do we, how do you want me to deal with the situation I'm in? Instead, Abraham was willing to leave his homeland, and he had to follow God. He put himself out there where he had no other choice. Not only was it a life of faith and a life of following, we see it was a life of favor. A life of favor. Because Abraham walked in faith and followed the Lord regardless of where he led him, God abundantly blessed the life of this amazing man. He was blessed financially. He was blessed militarily, physically, spiritually, and he blessed Abraham's family well. As we know that he was promised to be a blessing to all the world. And what an amazing promise. And that blessing is still being, the world is still being blessed from his seed today. God had promised to bless him, and God did just that. And as a little side note here, I can guarantee you that if you live a life that is according to God's will, God will bless you. Maybe not bless you in the ways you want him to, but he will bless your life in the way that matters most. And I think what Abraham would do, if he could come up, he would say, make sure you're ready to live, meet God someday. And as you live your life, live a life of faith, following after God, because God will never disappoint you. He says, I followed after God. I sought after God. And God led me and directed me. It was not always easy, but it was a life that was blessed because I did what God told me to do.
Not only was it, he would say how he lived his life, but secondly, how he laid down his life. Go back to Genesis chapter 25. In Genesis chapter number 25, I want you to take notice here of how Abraham died and the words. It seems like the Holy Spirit of God is kind of hovering over Abraham here in this passage of scripture, speaks a little bit about him and his death. It says in verse number 7, and these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 103 years. Most passages of scripture, that is enough. That's it. That's all you hear about it. But in verse number 8, it begins to give a little commentary of this great saint of God. Then Abraham gave up the ghost. Now, it's like the idea he laid down. He laid down with readiness. Now, I don't see Abraham struggling this day. By simply releasing a life, it was time for him to go. He had lived a long and full life, but when it came time to cross over into his next eternity, Abraham did it with grace and serenity. You say, why? Because Abraham had lived his life looking for it to this day. So many times people are grabbing hold and do not want to leave this world. It's because they come so attached to this world. But when Abraham's number came up, he was willing to go. He says, hey, if this is what God wants me to do, I'm ready and willing to go. But we also see how he lays down his life with free assurance. He says, and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Now, when we think about gathered to his people, I know most people say, oh, that's his grave. That means he was going in to die with his family. He was going to go get buried with his family. I disagree a little bit there. You know, Sarah was there. Sarah was buried in the cave, but that was just one person. I think this is in reference to the people he was being gathered unto was those that were believers and those who died in faith before him. He was being gathered with those that believed in God. And we know that in Luke chapter 16, it speaks about how he was there with the believers as they went off of this world. Not only do we see how he laid down his life, we also see how he loved his Lord. He said, Pastor, I don't see anywhere in the book of Genesis where it says that Abraham loved God. See, he might not just say it, he demonstrates it. I think this is one of the points that would be brought across at Abraham's funeral. We can all talk about loving God. We can all say, I love Lord. We can all sing, Jesus loves me. We can all say, yes, I love Jesus. But Abraham demonstrated it. Abraham proved it with his life. All through his life, he simply obeyed what the Lord told him to do. Yes, he had his mishaps. Yes, he failed in different areas. But he always went back and did what God had told him to do. When the Lord said go, he went. When the Lord said do, he did. And when the Lord said stay, he stayed. He obeyed when the command was difficult and costly. He obeyed when every instinct told him to do something different. You see, the essence of love for the Lord is that genuine love always manifests itself in obedience to God. Some people think love is demonstrated just by using our voice. And I tell you, especially for your young people in the room, you be careful when you have some boy or some girl start talking to you about how much they love and care about you, but they don't demonstrate in the idea that they are willing to treat you with respect and treat you with dignity and be able to listen and do things the way that God wants to do. And if they're not going to respect God or respect your parents, these are not young people you should be interested in dating. They're going to prove and show their love and demonstrate it, not in physical ways, but in the beginning, they're going to love you the most because they're going to do things the way that God wants you to do because that's the best thing for them. He demonstrated his love. It wasn't just with words. Say, Pastor, you're saying is it wrong to demonstrate your love with words? No, but the Bible teaches us. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So how do we know that he loved his Lord? It's because he obeyed his Lord. And so I think this is something that would be said. This is how he lived his life. It was a life of faith. It was a life of following. It was a life of favor. He was ready to go. He didn't try to fight. He didn't try to hold on. And time came. It was time for him to go. He was not regretful for what he did. He wasn't regretting leaving the Ur of Chaldees. He wasn't like so many people saying, man, I wish I would have done more. I wish I could have done this. I wish I could have done that. He says, no, he lived his life. It was full of years. It was a good life. And now he's saying goodbye. He's being gathered to his people. And he's saying, look how he loved his Lord. You know, I really enjoy being able to talk and give a funeral when the husband and wife have a great relationship. It makes life so much easier when you can have the mate talk so highly about the other one. And It is amazing to have some husbands, wives have a relationship where you can tell God's in it. And they respect and love one another and they cherish one another. They have stories to tell. And it is amazing. But it's even a greater thing when someone has loved God so much, you don't really even have to talk about him. You just remember and say, remember what he did. Remember how he's lived his life. Remember what was important to him. Remember how he demonstrated his love and displayed his love. Remember how he declared his love. You might never ever see him saying, I love God in the Bible. But we see through his whole life, he declares it and displays it. I wonder, what will they say at our lives? What type of life will they say we lived? Will it be a life of faith, a life of following? Will it be a life that has been in favor of God? Or will we be remembered about being a hard worker? Being a hard worker is good. Will we be remembered for the wealth that we had? There's nothing wrong with having possessions. Will we be remembered for our talents? God gives us the talents. What will be said of you? What will your son and daughter say in that room someday? What will your husband and wife say? And I'm not talking for people that are telling stories, because sometimes you get in a room and you know the person and their family starts talking about them and saying, really? I never knew that. And they start telling stories and make the person seem better than they were. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking out of sincerity. I believe Abraham's family, Isaac, even Ishmael, even Lot, all these people would say, this is a man who loved God. He didn't just do it with his mouth. He did it with his life. And as we close up this book and we say goodbye to Abraham and our series in Genesis, we say goodbye tonight in the funeral, I want us to think, what is it that they would say about me? It's a powerful thought. And I'm wondering if we should let our lives live a life that they'll glorify God with. I think in this story, in Abraham's life, they would say he was a friend of God. God blessed Abraham. There was no way anybody else could have saved Lot. It was God that did that. There was no way anybody else would have been able to have a child at 100. It was God. There's no way. I know it seems like we're making a lot of Abraham, but it's because Abraham made a lot of God. And because if Abraham made a lot of God, it will declare his love. What do we declare with our lives? And I know that the message was a little bit different, a little bit unique, but what will they sing at our funeral? Oh, how I love Jesus. What a friend we have. This world's not my home. Or will they have to sing something different? Tonight, just give some thoughts. Abraham lived a wonderful life, but he was just a human. He had to be used by God. He had the same temptations. He had the same passions. But he had been recorded in the book of Hebrews 11, the book of faith, a man who had lived a life of faith, a man who had lived a life of favor, a man who lived a life of following. And we can live the same type of life as we follow after Jesus Christ. But remember where it was. We had to leave behind the world. We can't have the limited obedience that Abraham had. Remember, he stopped partly. We didn't make it all the way to Canaan. And we got to be willing to leave the world behind and be willing to go where God leads us and follows us. That's what Abraham's life is about. Yeah, he had a lot of riches, but he wasn't worried about that. He was worried about the promises God had given him. He wanted to believe God. And it was counted for him for righteousness' sake. I know as someday, it's just reality unless the Lord comes. Someday somebody will be standing behind a pulpit preaching my funeral. And I don't want to be a bunch of accolades. I want it to be God used him and he was a person that loved the Lord. And God used him to be a blessing to others. I told my wife that when I die, I'm going to have the video camera. I'm going to record myself giving my own sermon at my own funeral. So I'm going to be down there in the casket, and then I'm going to be up there on the big screen preaching my funeral. Somebody said, boy, that would be really weird. So you've never seen that happen before, have you? At least I know no one's going to say anything bad about me if I'm saying it about myself. But the heart's desire here is that I want to finish well. Abraham finished well. And that's what this was saying here. Lot, the person who probably laughed at him and said, man, he's a fool, at the end says, I get why he did it. Isaac, the one that he was willing to train and teach and send on the way of the Lord, the one who probably knew him better than anybody else, says his faith was real. Eleazar, the one that probably was with him for at least 50, 60, 70, 80 years. I watched him. He was always faithful. Even though I was a servant, he treated me with kindness. He treated me with respect. I just hear the stories. I know Sarah at this point in time will be in heaven, but I can only imagine what Sarah would say about him. Yeah, he messed up. But I imagine Sarah would talk about how much he loved her and how he treated her. And how Sarah said, because of his faith, I was willing to call him Lord. You go look up in the New Testament how Sarah treated him with the utmost respect. Was that because it was demanded? I think it was because of the fact he lived a life of faith and saw God blessing him and realized, I have no problem following after a man that loves God that way. I have no problem doing that. And I think that's where Sarah would have said about Abraham. Tonight, what will be said about you? And you say, well, I don't like what's going to be said about me. Change it. You're here. I don't know how much longer you got here, but you got some time. Let's change our lives. So someday when someone stands up to say something, they'll be able to say something that pleases the Lord. Now, you can come up to me afterward and say, hey, Pastor, I don't really care what anybody else thinks. That's fine. That's good. But I think God tells us to have a good testimony amongst the believers, to have good testimony amongst those who are unbelievers. I think God demonstrates how we have a life to give, and to, with our life we can show forth the praises of God. So I'm not talking about looking for accolades or bragging from people. I think hopefully you know me better than that. But I'm talking about living a life that will show forth God and his praises. As Mary said this morning, my soul doth magnify the Lord. That with our lives, we make a lot of God. We magnify the Lord to this world that is lost and dying. That's what Abraham did. Amongst those Canaanites, amongst those Gentiles, or whatever you want to call them, those that did not know the one true God, he was called a Hebrew, meaning that he was different than everyone else. He served the one true and only one God, and he did it faithfully. And that's when Sarah died. All those people looked at him and says, you are a mighty prince among us. Your God has blessed you. He says, you're it in our area. We look up to you. That's what the people were saying about him. Tonight, what will be said of you someday? And more importantly, what will God say to you someday? We should care, because that's who we're living for. Now, at a funeral service, we usually do not have an invitation unless the family asks. But this is also a church service, so we're going to have an invitation too. So let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed, as we get ready to have an invitation.